Well, welcome to our study of Numbers. We are in chapter 18, and we're going to begin with verse 20. And the Lord spoke unto Aaron, Thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thy inheritance among the children of Israel.
Now, this is an interesting statement to me, in that God is telling Aaron that you're not going to have an inheritance in the land when it's divided. Well, we know that Aaron didn't get to go into the land, but this is prior to that. And so when God's speaking to him now, he hasn't the rock issue where he and Moses and put attention on themselves instead of God, which kept them out of the promised land, that had not yet occurred. And so God said, now when I divide the land of the Israelites, you're not going to receive inheritance in the land. He said, I am your inheritance. The Lord is his inheritance. And I think Heather has some things she was sharing with me that would be good to share with the class. I told her I was given the information here to try to show the setting, but I believe she has some revelation that will go with the information.
I told Pete this afternoon, I said, I see something completely different in this. And this is what I see in this, is that remember, keep in mind that Aaron is God's anointed, the one that he chose to represent him, to minister to him and for him. And he's saying, I'm giving you me. I'm not giving you the world. I'm giving you me. I want you to represent me only. And that's, to me, is so important because when I think about how easily we can become distracted with things and how easy it is to represent, we have to be very mindful and careful not to represent things of the world or systems of the world, people or places. But this is more than an inheritance of land. To me, what God is telling Aaron is, I'm giving you me. And what a beautiful statement that is. When I read that part, I am thy part and thy inheritance, that jumped off the page to me, and I thought, Lord, how beautiful it is. Thank you for giving me your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving yourself to me. So to me, that 20th verse has much more to do with an inheritance of love versus land.
Yeah, you know, from that, I just get God saying, I want you focused on me.
Yes.
These others will have their land. They'll be focusing on their land, doing this and doing that. I want you focused on me and serving me. Now, this is to the high priest, okay? This is to, obviously, to the priestly family, to his son. And I believe that principle still works today, that God is wanting us to focus on him. And if people would get the revelation of that, then many pastors who have to work in order to have support could be liberated from that to give more attention to the Lord. And, you know, it's when you work all day and then you go in and you have very little time to really prepare, it affects you. I know because I've done it. It affects you. And to me, to get in the position to where you can stay focused on the Lord, then it's better for you, and it'll be better for the other people as well. And if Israel didn't always honor that. And the priest would have, because the people didn't do their part, the priest would have to go work in the fields and all this type mm-hmm. thing. And when that happens, then it's not like God's getting the attention he needs to get. Is that all that makes sense to you?
Now, Aaron, the priests were called to minister to God and for God. We had a conversation the other day, just a little play on words, but there's some profound truth in this, is that there are many people, many ministers that are put into positions, and they prefer to minister for God, not realizing the importance of ministering to God. And if we're not ministering to God, we're missing it, you understand? And the play on words that we had is two comes before four. But you think about how important that is, our worship to the Lord, our ministering, serving God, and then that'll put us in a position for us to minister for him to other people, if that makes any sense.
Actually, you think about Matthew chapter 7, those people are saying to the Lord, we were doing this for you. We were doing this in your name. You know, we're prophesying, casting out devils, and doing mighty work in your name. But they were working, they would say, for God. But what does he say? I never knew you. I never knew you. And that's why it's so important that we discipline ourselves to focus on the Lord. I have a lot more to do than people realize. I mean, most, unless you've been there, you don't know the things that's involved in overseeing a church or overseeing a college and taking care of so many different things. But that doesn't give me the right to neglect the Lord. He's to be my priority. He's to be first on the plate, so to speak, you understand, to where we keep our attention on him. If I can keep my attention on him, then I can be a better minister to people.
Yeah.
You follow me?
And that our fellowship with him is so vital, because that's when we're filled up to be able to pour out to other people. And people need the love of the Lord. They need godly counsel. And we need to keep ourselves submitted to the Lord, worshiping him, serving him, to be in a position to serve people, to serve others. Something to think about. But I love that. Focus on that part and see if the Lord, the Holy Spirit, speaks to you. I am your part and your inheritance among the children of Israel. I am your part. Verse 21, and behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tents in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation.
So tithe is tenth, or the same. If you look at tithe, it's tenth, okay? You can't tithe a ninth. You can't tithe an eleventh. Tithe an eleventh. It's a tenth. That's what it means. And so the Lord gave the tenth, or the Israelites were to give a tenth to the Lord. And then this tenth went to the Levites to support the Levites. And so God used this method to compensate the Levites for their service in the tabernacle. You understand, they're working full time in the tabernacle. And if you're going at full time, then you don't have time for yourself. And so God set up this method for the people to take care of God's ministers. Okay? And Levites and priests were included in that.
That's good. Verse 22, neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance.
No other Israelite was allowed to serve in the tabernacle meeting. Now, this is not the first time we've seen that in the Scriptures. One who attempted to do so would die for the sin of disobedience. You remember the king, Uzziah, he took it on himself that he was going to go in and offer incense. And the priest go in to get him out, and of course he gets angry, and God immediately strikes him with leprosy, and he died a leper and lived in a separate house, being separated. There's a price to pay. God takes this thing serious. He designates who is to minister to him, you understand? And disobedience of that carried severe consequences. Now, these priests are responsible for any sins committed against that tabernacle. They're the guards. You read in the Scriptures, you see there's porters of the door. What's the porter do? The porter is to keep anyone out that's not supposed to be there. He allows those who are supposed to be there to come in. And this was a perpetual law. And people violate this all the time. They violate the principle. They're overstepping their boundaries. Know where God has called you to and stay there. And then you leave the rest of it up to God. You do what you know to do, and then you let God handle the person. If you don't like what they're doing, talk to God about it. But we do not have the prerogative to usurp what God said. If God said it, God's responsible for it. You understand? On the job, if I hired you, then someone else shouldn't be firing you if you messed up. Then that's my responsibility. And I don't need anyone else coming to me to tell me that. Well, God doesn't either. You understand? He handles the ones he sets. That's his responsibility. And I've had people say, well, what if the preacher's messing up? Well, my first question is, did God set him there or did he just get there by popular vote? If he got there by popular vote, God didn't set him there in the first place. But if God set him there, you better leave him alone. And you let God deal with him. See, David and Saul is an excellent example of this. God rejected Saul. You understand that? God rejected him and told Samuel, go anoint, ultimately, David to be the king, the next king. Saul trying to kill David, but yet David would not touch Saul. He had opportunity on two occasions to kill him. But he said, God forbid that I touch, my paraphrase, the one that he set apart to be king. I'm not going to touch him. I'm going to let God handle Saul. And God can do it his way. And David would not let his men kill Saul. You let God handle it. There's some tremendous principle in this if we just look at it.
Verse 24, but the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Israelites to inherit. Therefore, I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance.
So when the land was divided, now you understand that they haven't even got into the promised land. This is Moses is still the leader of the nation. Moses is not going to lead them in. Yet God's giving him all these instructions before they ever get there to where they know what to do when they do get there. And so God is telling them now, when the land's divided, and ultimately Joshua's the one that's going to divide the land. When the land's divided among the Israelites, the Levites are not to receive an allotment of land. The tithe of the Israelites that they bring to the Lord, that's their possession. That's what they're to receive. So the Lord reiterated that the Levites would not receive an inheritance in the land when the land was divided. Now, that's all set in concrete, so to speak, before they ever crossed the Jordan River. God is setting all this stuff in order.
It's amazing. Verse 25, and the Lord...
Now, let me just say this. You can look at that as God talking, or you can say, well, who does Moses think he is that he's not going to let us have an inheritance of property and all this?
Yeah.
All he's doing is the spokesman for God. He's just saying what God said. Now, that's the way it should be with ministers today. We should be spokesmen for God. And if you're a spokesman for God, you're not saying what you think. You're saying what God says. And too many people are giving their own opinions and are not giving the Word of God.
Amen. Verse 25. You know, that is so true. And we talk about this often. But we have to be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord on the inside of us. Otherwise, we'll miss God speaking, or we'll judge a situation incorrectly. We'll take a person that says, I have a prophecy from God, and take it to the bank and not even realize that it's not an inspired word from God. So we have to be sensitive to that. But remember, the people themselves, the Israelites themselves, told Moses, no, you go talk to God. We don't want him talking to us anymore. You remember that? That was like right from the very get-go. So they knew Moses spoke to the Lord, and the Lord talked to him. In verse 25, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when you take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe.
So through Moses, the Lord is speaking to the Levites and making sure that they understand that they're not cut off. They're going to receive a tenth of everything the Israelites bring in. However, of everything they receive, they're to give a tenth to the Lord. And I'm telling you, and I know what I'm talking about here because I've seen it, ministers are obligated to give just like you expect the people to give. Why would I stand and teach you to give to the Lord when I don't do it myself? Now, I'm going to go one further than that. The church should be the example. So if the church is teaching that we should give, then the church should be giving. And I've made it a practice ever since I've been in leadership position of the church, is that we're going to give a minimum of 10% of everything that comes in to another or other ministries. And we do that on a monthly basis. How I can't expect you to do what we're not doing. That's not fair. You understand? And the Lord blesses us so we can bless others. And that's the whole purpose of blessing. I mean, look at the Abraham blessing. I bless you to be a blessing. God blesses us to be a blessing. But we think of accumulation instead of distribution. God is not blessing you for you to see how much you can hoard up. Sow the seed and let this thing continue its cycle. If you keep it going, it'll keep reproducing. But when you stop sowing, you stop reaping.
To me, this is just a reminder. Keep me before you is what the Lord's saying.
If you keep the Lord before you, you're going to do what the Lord says.
And
so the Israelites would give to the Levites. The Levites would give to the priest. You understand? So this thing is actually an economy of God that he has it set up to take care of everybody. But when it gets violated, then people suffer.
Same thing happens today, doesn't it? Verse 27. And this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor and the fullness of the winepress. Thus ye shall offer an heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes, which ye receive of the children of Israel, and ye shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all your gifts ye shall offer every heave offering of the Lord, of all the best thereof, even the hallow part thereof out of it.
Now this is real interesting, especially when you're the one that's presenting the laws, okay? You're presenting the way this thing's supposed to be. The Lord said that he would honor the Levites' offerings just as he did the other Israelites' offerings. Israelites give a tenth, the Levites give a tenth as well. And so he said he would honor that, their grain and new wine. But the Levites were to give their tenth of the offerings to Aaron, the high priest. In this manner, they're given to the Lord. That's as high as it goes in that setting, okay, the way God had it designed. And so Aaron is representing the Lord to the people. So you're given, when these Levites gave to Aaron, they're given to the Lord. Okay, just like when the people gave to the Levites, they're given to the Lord. Okay? Now, the Levites were to give the best of the offerings that are brought in to Aaron and the most sacred part of the tithe. In other words, Aaron was to get the best of the best. Why is that? The Lord deserves it. And he's there as the Lord's representative. I mean, there's tremendous principle in this if you stop and think about it. But, you know, if you're just an Israelite, you can say, well, Aaron's Moses' brother. That's not fair. This is partiality and all this type stuff. No, you're missing the whole point. We're talking about God. We're not talking about Moses and Aaron. But the way you give to God, how you going to give to God? You going to throw money up in the air or whatever, food in the air? I mean, it doesn't work that way. God had it set up. This is the way you'll give to me. You take care of the Levites. Levites, this is the way you'll take care of me. You give to Aaron the best that you get. Okay? That's the way it should be now. We should be giving God our best.
We talked about this the other night where we miss it when we think, just like you were alluding to, when we think we're given to people or we're given to an organization. But what did Jesus say?
As often as you do it to the least of these, you do it unto me. You know, I had a person to tell me one time, in a church I used to pastor, as they say, the Lord spoke to me and told me that I was going to pastor that church, interim pastor, is what he said. The Lord told me that. Otherwise, I would not go. Because I had no desire to pastor to people. I can tell you that right now. I knew them. I shouldn't have said that, should I? But nevertheless, I was there because the Lord sent me there. And after a while, you know, things are going pretty good. And then after a while, they didn't like the teaching and they didn't like this. And they couldn't do their own thing because it wasn't God's thing. And so we would stand up against it. And I had a lady to tell me, right there in the foyer of the church, we pay you to do this. I said, whoa, you don't pay me to do nothing. You didn't hire me and you can't fire me. I don't work for you. Only reason I'm here is because the Lord sent me here, and when the Lord releases me from here, I'm gone. But I don't work for you. Now, you can call that arrogance or whatever, but I will bow my back on you when it comes to the things of God. You understand? I am not a hireling. I'm not prostituting myself. I'm in the ministry because God called me there. I don't preach for money. I look to the Lord to take care of me. You understand? We don't even receive offerings here. You get all that? Got quiet on me. Okay. No. God has a system set up. You honor God's system, and God will honor you for honoring His system. But don't ever get this thing into the natural arena about, well, we pay Him this and we pay Him that. I work for the Lord. He's my master. I'm the slave. And I expect the master to take care of his slave. You understand? And it's as simple as that. And this is the way the ministry should be. And I just wish people would get the revelation of that, ministers as well as congregation. If they could just get the revelation, because it's extremely liberating. Because I don't work for people, I don't have to please them. But I do have to please the one that I work for, and that's the Lord. You guys handle that? Okay.
You know, we can get things all goofed up and messed up and out of sync when we put ourselves in the place of the Lord. Everything belongs to God. The earth and the fullness thereof. All the money, all the riches, everything is His. Anything we have is because He gave it to us.
Yeah.
And so when we give a tithe, it's His money anyway. We're just putting our name on it. It's not ours. It's not mine. It's His. He's just blessed me to steward some things and blessed you to steward some things too. But ultimately, it belongs to Him, right? Verse 30, therefore, thou shalt say unto them, when you have heaved the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor, and as the increase of the winepress, and ye shall eat it in every place, you and your households, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation.
And so all these verses here, it's instructions being given to the Levites. You have a responsibility just like these people have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to give to the Lord. You understand? And I'm not going to be stingy with the Lord. He hasn't been with me. So why should I with Him? And so He tells these Levites, well, they're presented the best, the tithe. You present the best of what you get. And your grain offers, your wine, just like the other Israelites are given, they're to be given their best, okay? And then your families are permitted to eat the remainder of what's been given you. You give Aaron the best, and then what's left over, you'll be fed and taken care of with that. But you have to eat that in a holy place, the place that I choose. You can't take these holy things that people bring and just flippantly do whatever you want. This is brought to the Lord. Now, you're going to have to represent that to the Lord by presenting it to the Lord. Then it was their compensation for working in the tabernacle of meeting, but they had to do it God's way. And this is where we're missing it in ministry. We're not doing it God's way. If God said you eat that meal at this place, then you eat that meal at that place. You do it God's way. And it's just not, well, I just do what I want to. I'm the pastor of the church. I just do what I want to. Well, you'll be dealt with sooner or later. You may get by with it for years. But you have to come to the realization it's not mine. Now, a lot of ministry, a lot of churches, they're not God's anyway. They go under the name of church, but it's the possessions of men. It's not God. God's name, He wouldn't put His name on it. God chooses where he places his name. And where God's name is on a church, a ministry, whatever, then it's that ministry or church is expected to represent God, not itself. You follow me? And so we have to get this revelation. It's not my church. This is not my college. This is not my stuff. I walk into this place. And often I just say, Lord, this is the house you built. This is yours. You gave it the name. You gave the building. You gave the furniture. You've given everything in this place. And I recognize that as yours. You with me? And I wish people would get the revelation of that. That it's God. Just look what the Lord has done. But we want to say, look what a man's done. Someone said something to me one time. I said, well, I guess I should be flattered that you think I'm that smart. But I'm not. You understand? We are what we are by the grace of God. And any good thing is because God has orchestrated that good thing. It's not the intellect of man. It's the wisdom of God that causes things to be successful, okay? God had a tremendous system set up if the nation of Israel would follow it. As long as they followed God's protocol, that nation prospered. Everybody prospered. The people prospered. The Levites prospered. The priests prospered. I mean, everything's going well for the nation. But when they violated, then it was to the demise, ultimately, to the demise of everybody. The people would be punished. Consequently, the priests and Levites are being punished in that they have no possession now. And then when the priests and Levites violate the Lord, God rejects them. And he's not partial. Just because God called a man doesn't mean he won't deal with him. And we have to understand these things.
Verse 32, and you shall bear no sin by reason of it when you have heaved from the best of it, neither shall you pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest you die.
So as long as the Levites gave their best, they would remain guiltless. You couldn't just give an offering, you gave your best. And Moses warned them, do not sin against the sacred offerings. You mishandle this, you're sinning against God. So don't you sin against these sacred offerings that these Israelites are bringing in. I'm telling you, you better stop and think about what you're doing with offerings and things that people are bringing in. They're bringing it to the Lord. And you better not be looking at what you can put in your pocket. But it's to the Lord. Don't sin against the sacred offering. He said it could be the death of the violator. I'm telling you, I take these things serious myself. And I don't think this is just Old Testament. I think there's principle that comes over into the New Testament that we have to apply to our lives.
Here's what I see in this. I see the Lord saying, my representatives, you give me your best. You're an example to all the other people around you. You represent me to the people. Give me your best. And that's the question we can ask ourselves as priests.
God's never shortchanged me.
No.
You understand? God's never taken advantage of me. I can't say that about people, but God has it. You understand? No, if you do it God's way, that's the best thing for you. In the end, you're the winner. And you just have to realize that. We've got to get out of a greed mentality.
Yeah.
It's not how much you get, how far does it go? You know, read the book of Haggai. It said you've sown much, but you've reaped little. Mm-hmm. You understand? You're not doing it God's way. So what does he say? Consider your ways. You've neglected my house. You focused on your house, but you've neglected my house. And we've got to put our attention on God's house. And I'm not talking about some building. I'm talking about the spiritual house that God is building. Okay, the body of Christ. We keep our attention on Him. And when we obey Him, then everything's taken care of. It's when we disobey Him that we get ourselves in trouble and people suffer as a result of it. Okay? I think our time's up here, so
okay.
We'll stop here and pick back up with the 19th chapter.